On this occasion, I sought to read a nice verse and purport about the chanting of the holy name. Whenever Srila Prabhupada would give initiations, he would speak about the 10 offenses. And although I usually speak either from the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam or from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's another very nice verse and purport in the third canto, which gives us a sense of what proper chanting is and is not. So I will read that verse and purport, which leads into another verse and purport. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, Text 25. I will just read myself. Yascha vrajantya nisham rishavanu vritya dureya mahyuparinash paniyashila bhartur mitasu yasana Katananuraga Vaiklavya Bhaspa Kalaya Pulati Kritanga Yascha Vrajantyam Ucham Rishabhanu Vritya Dureya Mahi Upari Nasprihaniya Shila Bhartur Mitasu Yasana Katananuraga Vaiklavya Bhasva Kalaya Pulati Kritanga. Translation. Persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes, and it is desired by Brahma and other demigods. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahmaji confirms herewith that only persons who have developed the desirable qualities can enter into the kingdom of God. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotees' desirable qualities are described to be 26 in number. So as we hear these 26 qualities, we can consider how we are developing in these qualities. They are stated as follows. He is very kind. He does not quarrel with anyone. He accepts Krishna consciousness as the highest goal of life. He is equal to everyone. No one can find fault in his character. He is magnanimous, mild, and always clean, internally and externally. He does not profess to possess anything in the material world. He is a benefactor to all living entities. He is peaceful and is a soul completely surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desire to fulfill. He is meek and humble, always steady, and has conquered the sensual activities. He does not eat more than required to maintain body and soul together. He is never mad after material identity. He is respectful to all others and does not demand respect for himself. He is very grave, very compassionate, and very friendly. He is poetic. He is expert in all activities. And he is silent in nonsense. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, verse 21, the qualities of a saintly person are mentioned, sadhubhushanam. It is said there that a saintly person eligible to enter into the kingdom of God is very tolerant and very kind to all living entities. He is not partial. He is kind to both to human beings and to animals. He is very kind to all living entities, therefore he has no enemies. He is very peaceful. These are the qualities of persons who are eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. That such a person gradually becomes liberated and enters the kingdom of God is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, verse 2. The Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, verse 24, also states that if a person does not cry or exhibit bodily changes after chanting the holy name of God without offense, it is to be understood that he is hard-hearted and that therefore his heart does not change even after he chants the holy name of God, Hare Krishna. These bodily changes can take place due to ecstasy when we offensively chant the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It may be noted that there are 10 offenses we should avoid. The first offense is to deprive persons who try in their lives to broadcast the glories of the Lord. That means all devotees, practically. People must be educated in understanding the glories of the Supreme. Therefore, the devotees who engage in preaching the glories of the Lord are never to be decried. It is the greatest offense. Furthermore, the holy name of Vishnu is the most auspicious name, and his pastimes are also non-different from the holy name of the Lord. There are many foolish persons who say that one can chant Hare Krishna or chant the name of Kali or Durga or Shiva because they are all the same. If one thinks that the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the names and activities of the demigods are on the same level, or if one accepts the holy name of Vishnu to be a material sound vibration, that is also an offense. So Srila Prabhupada likes us to write articles on contemporary subjects in response to contemporary events. So in the 1970s, there was an Austrian man who became a sannyasi in an impersonal school, and his name was Agenda Bharati. So he was saying that chanting, you know, Krishna Krishna, Shiva Shiva, Durga Durga are all the same. So I wrote a letter to the editor of the Illustrated Weekly of India, whose name was Kushwant Singh. And Kushwant Singh published my statements and Bharati's statements together under the heading Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva. And he was trying to make us look silly that we're arguing, you know, whether it should be Hare Krishna or Shiva Shiva. And so I wrote to Srila Prabhupada with my analysis of what Kushwant Singh was doing. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, Bharati is a fool, but Singh is a demon. Which is actually true, he was. So, but we have to speak the truth. And those who are submissive and faithful will receive it and benefit. And if they don't accept the supremacy of Lord Krishna or Vishnu, then they become offenders against the holy name. This is quite common, at least in America and Europe, in yoga groups who now incorporate kirtan in their practices. They do kirtan, but most of them think that all the different names are both of the demigods and of the Supreme Lord. Of course, they don't make that distinction. That all the names are the same. So it's an offense, and it's a little tricky for us, because if we say that Krishna is supreme, they might think that we're sectarian, that we think that our deity is better than others. But the truth is the truth, and we have to speak the truth. But we can be a little tactful and intelligent in the way we do it. But we have to speak the truth. The third offense is to think of the spiritual master who spreads the glories of the Lord as an ordinary human being. The fourth offense is to consider the Vedic literatures, such as the Puranas or other transcendentally revealed scriptures, to be ordinary books of knowledge. The fifth offense is to think that devotees have given artificial importance to the holy name of God. The actual fact is that the Lord is non-different from His name. The highest realization of spiritual value is to chant the holy name of God as prescribed for the age. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, this offense that we just read, which is sometimes stated simply to consider the glories of the holy name to be imagination, can be the result of inattentive chanting. His Holiness Satchinandan Swami explained that when people chant inattentively, or in other words, offensively, they don't get the actual result of chanting. And so they can develop the attitude that the glories of the holy name are imaginary or exaggerated. And that thought led him to begin his japa retreats, so that people can actually experience what chanting is supposed to be. Otherwise, as he put it, we have a sort of schizophrenia, like a split personality. We talk, you know, chant and be happy, and we chant, but we're not happy. And why are we not happy? Because we chant, but we commit offenses. So it's very important that we chant without offenses. Then we will realize the true glories of the holy name, and we won't commit the offense of thinking that the glories are imagined or exaggerated. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name of God. The seventh offense is to act sinfully on the strength of chanting the holy name of God. It is understood that one can be freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of God. But if one thinks that he is therefore at liberty to commit all kinds of sinful acts, that is a symptom of offense. It is true that by chanting the holy name without offense, one is freed from all sinful reactions. But if one develops a cunning strategy that he can engage in sinful activities and then neutralize the effects by chanting, that is an offense. And not only is it an offense, but it doesn't work. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says even in ordinary karma kanda, if you perform some misdeed and then with the idea that you can neutralize it by some ritualistic performance, it won't work. One one always must try one's best to avoid sinful activities. And one should avoid them as far as possible. The eighth offense is to equate the chanting of Hare Krishna with other spiritual activities, such as meditation, austerity, penance, or sacrifice. They cannot be equated at any level. The ninth offense is to specifically glorify the importance of the holy name before persons who have no interest. So this is an offense because it encourages others to commit offenses. If we preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless, they will think that the glories are, again, imagined or exaggerated, which is an offense. I had one experience with my father. We were flying from Delhi to Srinagar, Kashmir. And, you know, my father was a rational person. And so I thought I could speak to him in scientific terms. So Srila Prabhupada had written one book called Easy Journey to Other Planets, in which he adopted spiritual terminology to explain the process of bhakti yoga. And he, after discussing the different achievements through different yoga practices, he mentions that only by bhakti yoga can one actually go beyond all the material planets within the universe and attain to the kingdom of God. So I was explaining some of these concepts to my father, and he looked at me like, you know, I thought that you were crazy, but the way you're talking about going to other planets by practicing yoga, I'm really convinced that you are definitely crazy. And I thought that my approach was wrong. It was an offense to preach the glory to a person who's faithless. If someone has no faith, we have to create faith by logic and reason, not by quoting scripture about the glories of the holy name or the process of bhakti yoga. So we have to be sensitive to our audience when we preach and not speak on a level that's beyond where they are, but try to elevate them by logic and reason, or by letting them hear the holy name, taste prasad, or do service. And then gradually, when they're purified, they can come to appreciate the glories of the holy name, develop faith and appreciate the glories of the holy name. The tenth offense is to be attached to the misconception of possessing something, or to accept the body as oneself while executing the process of spiritual cultivation. So this is Aham Mameti, I and mine. And that's why this is sometimes rendered to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. So we should be in the mood to be purified of our material attachments by chanting. And if we chant and at the same time try to hold on to our material attachments, that is an offense, a sort of duplicity. Now, Srila Prabhupada continues, when one is free from all 10 of these offenses, enchanting the holy name of God, he develops the ecstatic bodily features called Pulakashru. Pulak means symptoms of happiness, and Ashru means tears in the eyes. The symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes must appear in a person who has chanted the holy name offenselessly. Here in this verse, it is stated that those who have actually developed the symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes by chanting the glories of the Lord are eligible to enter the kingdom of God. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that if one does not develop these symptoms while chanting Hare Krishna, it is to be understood that he is still offensive. So we've read about different symptoms, pulakasu, symptoms of happiness with tears in the eyes, that will come from offenseless chanting. And if we don't experience such symptoms, it is to be understood that we are committing offenses while chanting. Now, what to do? Srila Prabhupada continues here at the end of the purport. Chaitanya Charitamrita suggests a nice remedy in this connection. That's exactly what we need. We need a nice remedy. There it is said, in verse 31, chapter 8 of Adilila, that if anyone takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya and just chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, he becomes free from all offenses. So that's what we need, a nice remedy to become free from offenses. And I just happen to have Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 8, Text 31, here. And I will read that verse. It's another very long purport and relishable purport. But I'll just read the verse in translation and maybe some of the offenses. Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Jaya 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 Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda So the verse reads Chaitanya Nityananda Nahi Esa Vichara Nama Laite Premadana Vahe Ashudara. Translation. But if one only chants with some slight faith the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, very quickly he is cleansed of all offenses. Thus, as soon as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he feels the ecstasy of love for God. So this is the secret to chant the names of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, or the names of the Panchatattva, before we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the chanting of the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will cleanse the heart of offenses, and then we can chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we'll begin the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks in this connection that if one takes shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, follows their instructions to become more tolerant than the tree and humbler than the grass, and in this way chants the holy name of the Lord, very soon he achieves the platform of transcendental loving service to the Lord, and tears appear in his eyes. There are offenses to be considered in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but there are no such considerations in chanting the names of Gaur Nityananda. Therefore, if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but his life is still full of sinful activities, it will be difficult for him to achieve the platform of loving service to the Lord. But if, in spite of being an offender, one chants the holy names of Gaur Nityananda, he is very quickly freed from the reactions to his offenses. Therefore, one should first approach Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, or worship Guru Gauranga, and then come to the stage of worshiping Radha Krishna. And then there's a nice discussion. And then at the very end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, therefore, one must first take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adigaur Bhakta Vrinda. By serving Gaur Nityananda, one is freed from the entanglements of material existence and thus becomes qualified to worship the Radha Krishna deity. Hare Krishna. So, now you know everything. You just have to apply it, and you will be completely successful. So is there anything else planned for me? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Hare Krishna.
And then each step of the different stages, first we went to the Prabhupada, and then going to Bombay, and then the position of GBC, a different teaching program, and coming all the way up, and you see water flows from the top at the top, and that's actually watching the feet, and then all the symbolism of the feet.
That's amazing. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Yes, I would like to ask, what is Nishina Maharaj, yeah, Maharaj, so I'd like to ask you to help us with the incapacity of your past. And I think this
Hare Krishna, Shri Hari Prabhu. I will never forget the time that His Holiness Indradumya Swami and I came to your home for prasad, and you kept sort of tricking us, because each preparation you served, we were under the impression that was the last one. So we would eat to our heart's content, and then you would bring another one, and then we'd have to eat more, and then we'd have to, you'd bring another one, and then we'd have to eat still more. So Indradumya Swami said to me, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, one should not eat too much or eat too little. Today we are concentrating on not eating too little. Thank you.
We look forward to coming back to South Africa, and we'd like to host you again.
Thank you. Thank you.
I feel very fortunate that I'm getting this opportunity again to offer you.